We have a loss show from the series Nightbeat. Everyone has experienced jokes that are not funny. Here's an interesting case in point. It's called The Practical Joker.
ART, American Radio Theater, presents live from Pioneer Hall in Seattle, a recreation of... Night Beat, originally broadcast August 24th, 1951.
Hi, this is Randy Stone. I cover the night beat for the Chicago Star. Yeah, and too often, I learn that when the night strips the facade of polite society from all of us, it uncovers more ugliness than beauty, more cruelty than kindness, more misery than happiness. The night seems to touch some hidden chord in most of us, and we hearken back to our early history when we lived as animals by the law of the jungle. It's dog eat dog, devil take the hindmost, and anyone is fair game. Anyone, and especially guys like Bob Felton, the kind of guy who can never say anything bad about anyone else, the kind of guy who, well, if you read that warm, down-to-earth column of his in the Chronicle, you'd know, a real sweet guy, a guy whose heart is so big he's never really happy unless he's sharing his happiness with others. Like the day last week, I ran into him in front of the courthouse.
Well, how about it, Randy? You've broken so many promises to come over for dinner, Alice thinks you're afraid of her cooking.
Well, soon, Felton.
Fine, we'll make it tomorrow.
Can't tomorrow, Felton. One day next week, maybe.
There you go again, putting it off.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid I'll fall in love with that wife of yours, just like you did.
How can you help it? The most beautiful, wonderful, sweet...
Still on your honeymoon after 2 years of marriage. But she's everything you think she is, you lucky stiff.
Lucky, yeah. Lucky's the word.
He used to call himself the homeliest man on earth. And the luckiest.
You know, sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night, terrified. Sure that it's all a dream about Alice and me. Why, I get a brand new thrill every time I just look at her.
A special case he was. Not just another guy in love with his wife. She was his breathing and living and hoping and dreaming.
The boys at the press club think they're kidding me, Randy. A beautiful woman like Alice and a homely mutt like me. It must be my money, they said. But it's more than just beauty on the surface, Randy. Alice is beautiful all the way through.
That kind of guy. The kind of guy who's set up for the special breed of human who get their fun tearing the wings off butterflies. Felton always said he was sure his marriage was as solid as the pyramids, but I sometimes get the feeling he was living his happiness from day to day, always just a little anxious about tomorrow, a little afraid that one day it would all go up in smoke. Yeah, he was a sitting duck, and I should have seen it coming. I would have if it had been anyone but Gabby Gorin who broke the news. Practical jokes are an occupational disease with ballplayers, prize fighters, newspaper men, and children in general. But I guess Gabby Gorin of our sports staff is the national champ. Only there's never anything funny about Gabby's gags, and he's pulled so many, you automatically suspect a practical joke every time he opens his mouth. And that's how this thing got started, how I didn't see it coming. Felton and I were killing time with some backgammon in the game room of the press club about 9 o'clock this evening, and we were enjoying ourselves. Until Gabby walked over.
Oh, hey, we're sorry to hear about Alice, Felton.
Huh?
Yeah. We're having a nice conversation here, Gabby, all by our lonesome.
Okay. I wouldn't think of intruding. I just wanted Felton to know I think it's a dirty shame.
What is? What about Alice?
You mean you don't know?
Know what, Gabby?
Oh, I'm sorry, I spoke out of turn.
Don't you get tired of pulling these gags?
Okay. Hey, goodbye. So, bye.
Gorin!
Hey, ask Perry about it.
She's the one who told me. Would I pull a gag about something like this?
Sure you would, Gabby, if you thought you could get away with it.
Boy, you really figure me for a heel, don't you, Randy?
You could say that.
What is it? Is Alice hurt? Has there been an accident?
No, nothing like that. Nothing, no.
Then what?
She
what?
Look, all I'll tell you is Alice isn't home, and you can ask Perry why she isn't.
What do you mean? Of course she's home. She always stays home my club nights. She's expecting me to telephone her at 10 o'clock like I always do when I'm out.
Look, she isn't home, Felton. She left town.
What?
Look, I never would have mentioned it if I didn't think you already knew. Perry told me...
This is in the worst possible taste, Gabby.
You still think it's a gag?
It is a gag, isn't it, Gabby?
Oh, believe me, Felton, I wish it was.
I'll phone her. She's home. She wouldn't go out of the house without calling and telling me. I'll be right back, Randy.
This isn't funny, Gabby.
Hey, listen, I'm not trying to be funny. Alice called Perry before she left. You know what good friends she and Alice are. Well, Alice told her she wasn't coming back. That's all I know about it.
When did she call?
Oh, I don't know exactly. There's Perry. She'll know.
Perry.
Oh, hello, Randy. Didn't I see Bob Felton here a second ago?
He went to call his wife.
Call her? Call Alice? Didn't you...
You too, Perry.
Me too. What?
Is this on the level? Alice really left him?
Yes, Randy. I'm afraid it is.
I can't believe it.
Randy here thinks it's a practical joke.
You know me better than that, Randy.
And I know Gorin, too. I can't understand it. Why? Why would Alice...
You remember a fellow by the name of Spencer Clark, AP man from New York?
Vaguely.
An old flame of hers. He got in town yesterday. They left together this evening.
Spencer Clark. I know him. He's a smooth talker. Your small mustache.
Look, if this is true, we've got to help Felton over the rocks. And take it easy. Here he comes. Did you get her, Felton?
There's no answer at home.
Well, maybe she went down to the corner, the drugstore.
Run away? Leave me? Pack her things and go? What'd she say, Perry? What'd she say?
Spencer Clark's back in town.
Can it, Perry?
The AP, man. I've got to know. I'm going home.
Don't listen to them, Felton. Maybe she's asleep. Didn't hear the phone ring.
Yeah, maybe that's it. I know she wouldn't leave. She was expecting my call at 10 o'clock. The call's it's a kind of ritual with us. We tell each other, well, I just always call at 10 when I'm not home, and... Maybe she fell asleep. Yeah, that's the answer.
We'd better go with him.
I'll go ahead with Felton. You two better follow.
And that's how it began. That's the time I should have stepped in before it snowballed out of control. But I still had the feeling it was one of Gabby's practical jokes and that somehow Harriet Perry had been roped in. Perry was the best newspaper woman in town and regular, one of the few women who fit in with the bunch at the press club. I knew she hated Gabby's crummy gags as much as I did, but still, I just kept walking through it, making the biggest mistake of my life, standing by and watching one of my best friends destroying himself. When Perry and I reached Felton's house, Felton was on his way upstairs to the bedroom to see if Alice was asleep. Gabby was in the living room.
Well, Felton sure got a nice place here.
Yeah.
Alice!
Well, I hated to be the one to tell him, but I thought he knew.
Yeah.
What are you sore at me for?
I'm not sore.
Randy's worried, Gabby, and so am I.
Randy, she's not upstairs. She's gone!
All right, take it easy. There are a thousand things that could have happened. Maybe she went to a movie.
Not without telling me. You don't know, but those telephone calls at 10 o'clock really mean something to us. She'd have called me at the club if she was going anywhere, if everything was all right. Randy,
there's a thousand reasons why she didn't call you, and it's only 20 minutes to 10 now.
You're trying to make it easy for me. You know she left me. Perry, you know it, don't you?
Hey, how about a drink, Felton?
No, thanks.
No, I meant for us.
Oh, sure. In the den here.
I must have been here a half dozen times, but I've never been in the den before.
It's our memory room.
Memory room?
Uh-huh. Gabby, you'll find the drinks in the cabinet there.
Well, this is why you call it your memory room, these pictures?
Yeah, they're all of Alice and me. Every place we've been, everything we've done together, from the day we met.
It sure was a whirlwind courtship, as I remember.
We met at exactly 10 o'clock on the night of Halloween dance at the club.
She takes a wonderful picture.
Yeah, I never could believe she'd settle for a Miata. All the good-looking guys she could have had, I never did understand why.
Hey, don't sell yourself short, kid.
Hey, aren't those drinks ready yet,
yeah,
Gabby?
Yep, they're coming up. Here you are. Here you are, Felton.
No, thanks. Not now.
Go ahead.
Well, I'll just put one down here on the...
What's that, Felton?
What?
There, on the desk.
A letter? In Alice's handwriting.
Oh, see, it's probably a good explanation why...
Spencer Clark.
Look, Felton.
She is. She's going away with Clark.
Oh, no, no. Hey, so what, Felton? I mean, you got to take these things in stride.
Come on, Gabby.
Huh? Hey, better for you to find out about it now, Felton, before it's too late. You can
come on, Gabby.
What?
Out. Give him a little privacy.
Oh, yeah, sure.
We walked out of the den, Perry, Gorin, and I, and that was the mistake. It's tricky dealing with emotions like this, and there wasn't a hint in Felton's actions up to this point that he'd do anything foolish. He'd been stunned, and the full meaning of Alice leaving him hadn't sunk in. That's what I thought. I wanted him to be alone for a few minutes to get his perspective, to think it out. But I was wrong, because Felton didn't have any perspective when it came to his wife. 2 steps out of the memory room, the door slammed shut. Felton! Felton, open up!
Go away! Leave me alone!
Listen to me, Felton. You're not thinking straight.
I'm thinking straight. For the first time in my life, I'm thinking straight.
What are you going to do?
Leave me alone. Just leave me alone!
Brandy! He has a gun in there! I saw it!
Felton, wait a minute! Felton!
American Radio Theatre is bringing you Nightbeat as originally broadcast in 1951. It's the Silver Jubilee on NBC. Tonight, your dial is set for mystery and action-packed adventure on NBC. Actor Carl Weber comes to you as Inspector Thorne in the hard-hitting story of the Mastermind murder case. Later, Mr. Keane, tracer of lost persons, is called in to help solve the baffling fire escape murder case, a case which has perplexed other law enforcement officers. This evening, make a date to hear exciting mystery with Inspector Thorne and Mr. Keane, tracer of lost persons, both on this NBC station. And now back to Nightbeat and Randy Stone.
I never felt so helpless in my life. Just 2 inches of wood separating me from one of the sweetest guys in the world, and all I could do was stand there while he put a gun to his head and pulled the trigger. I put my shoulder to the door and shoved, but it was solid oak, a little too much for my 180 pounds. I turned and grabbed a chair and slammed it at the door.
Get away from that door! Get away or I'll shoot!
No, Felton, listen!
Leave me alone! Just leave me alone!
Will you listen to me?
What? What's the matter with you two?
I can't hold it in any anymore. You weren't worth being in the car driving over here. You should have heard it.
Are you out of your mind? Perry!
Sorry, Randy. It really is funny.
A gag! I should have known Gabby and his practical jokes.
I was worried you'd catch on, Brandy. But it was still worth it in the car. Oh, what do you think, Gabby? She couldn't just run away now without speaking to me. These 2 years we had together, I know I'm homely. Oh.
A gag. A lousy gag. Felton! Felton, the whole thing's a joke. Just another of Gabby's practical jokes.
Leave me alone. Leave me alone.
Yeah, sure. Let leave him alone. He'll appreciate the joke later.
Will he?
Sure he will, Randy. What are you so upset about?
I've always liked you, Perry, but if this is your idea of thinking and acting like one of the boys...
Hey, come off it, Randy. Sure, it's a practical joke, but so what? Felton, it's just a gag. Come on out.
Yeah, she's really at my house, Felton, having dinner with my wife. She called the press club and I took the message for you.
That's a lie.
That's what gave me the idea for the gag.
Come on, Felton, let's talk this thing over.
Leave the door alone. If you try to break in here, I'll...
Felton!
I warn you, Randy, I'll shoot myself right now if you don't get away from that door.
But don't you understand? There's no truth in the whole thing. Alice is having dinner at Gabby's house.
I can read, can't I? This is Alice's handwriting. If this is just not a gag, too. I've only got 15 minutes left. Leave me alone. Just leave me alone till 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock.
Felton!
Please leave me alone.
Randy, do you think he'd really...
Well, Gabby, still enjoying your joke?
Come on. The guy's got no sense of humor.
Yeah, it's all in what you call a sense of humor. Felton! Have you got a phone in there? Call Gabby's house.
She's not there.
Well, look, there's a phone out here. I'll call. When I get her on the phone, will you come out?
There's an extension in here. Go ahead. I'll listen.
Okay. What's your phone number, Gabby?
Plaza 6, 4874.
Bolton, Felton, are you on the extension?
I'm listening.
There's no answer, Gorin.
What? Oh, that's impossible.
Well, listen for yourself.
You must have dialed the wrong number. Here, let me...
Go ahead, laughing boy.
Okay, hang on for a second, Felton. I'm going to dial again.
What's the use? It's so good. It's so good.
Felton, listen in. I tell you...
You're wasting time. Dial the number.
Okay. I know darn well my wife's home. Alice Felton told me she was having dinner at my house. Felton, pick up the extension in there. Felton!
Any answer?
No! No, I don't understand it. I'm sure...
Getting a big bang out of your joke, Gorin?
It doesn't make sense. Felton, listen. Something must have gone wrong. Our wives must have gone out somewhere or something.
Get out! Leave me alone! Get out!
Randy, it's 12 minutes to 10.
The letter, Gabby. The letter, what about that?
That's a fake. It's a fake. I told Martha to write it.
The check girl at the club?
Yeah. She's a genius at it. Well, she's done it for me before. I had a sample of Alice's handwriting.
You and your crummy jokes.
This is ridiculous. It is only a joke. Felton can't be serious.
Oh, can't he? Felton! Martha wrote the note, Felton. You know, the hat check girl at the press club. We'll call her and she'll tell you. Felton, it's one of Gorin's gags, I tell you.
He couldn't make up this gag. Not with Alice. Why isn't she here? I know her. She would.
We're going to call Martha. Listen in, will you?
Why don't you just leave me alone?
Press Club. Good evening.
Andrew, is Martha there?
Who is this, please?
Randy Stone. Let me talk to Martha.
She's out on relief, Mr. Stone.
Relief? Where'd she go?
I think for a bite to eat.
Where?
I don't know, Mr. Stone.
Well, how long ago?
Well, about 10 minutes ago, I guess.
How long will she be gone? It's very important.
Oh, well, I don't think very long, Mr. Stone. Perhaps 20 minutes or so. Can she call you when she comes back?
20 minutes? Send out for her. Find her.
Right.
Do you hear me? To all the eating places around the club, find her. Have her call Radcliffe 43717. Got it? Andrew?
Yes, sir. Radcliffe 43177.
No. 43717.
Yes, sir.
Hurry.
Yes, sir. It's no use, Randy.
Look, you got to wait until we speak to her. Believe me, Felton, it's not true.
Practical joke? No, Randy. The joke's on me. That was a good try on Gorin's part, trying to pass it off as one of his practical jokes, but it's no use.
Only 8 minutes left, Randy!
I learned the difference between a comedy and a tragedy in school. A comedy is a play that has a happy ending. Would you call this practical joke a comedy? Maybe it's funny to the joker, but what about the victim? And maybe something that starts off as a comedy winds up as a tragedy. I sat at the phone and tried to think how to convince Felton it was all a gag, and I couldn't. I couldn't come up with a thing. I just couldn't repeat over and over it was all a mistake. In the frame of mind he was in, Nothing short of seeing Alice in the flesh would convince him. Where is she? Where would she be?
I don't know. I can't understand it. She called the club before Felton arrived. I took the call. She told me she'd be at my house. And to tell Felton, that's how I got the idea for the gag.
She might be at a movie.
Might. And which one?
Well, I don't know. How do I know?
There must be some way. The letter, this guy she's supposed to be running away with.
That would be Spencer Clark at the Harper House.
Well, maybe I can reach him. Felton, I'm going to call Spencer Clark. Get on the phone in there.
It's no use, Randy.
Just listen in. Felton?
I'm listening, Randy. Harper House. Good evening. Desk clerk speaking.
Spencer Clark, please.
One moment, please. Oh, I'm sorry, sir. Mr. Clark has checked out.
Checked out? When?
A couple hours ago.
I see. Thank you.
Just a minute. Was he alone when he left?
Alone? No, there was a woman with him.
Thank you.
Felton! Five minutes. Where was Alice? Where was Martha, the hat check girl? If Spencer Clark hadn't left the hotel, the coincidence of a woman with him, the whole pattern from beginning to end. Felton, listen. Open the door and let me talk to you. Don't shut everything out of your mind.
Randy, he's going to kill himself. Randy, you gotta do something. Stop it.
Shut up, Gorin. Felton, do you hear me?
Get out. Get out.
It's no use, Randy. He wouldn't even listen to Alice right now. Oh, why did I let you talk me into this, Gabby? It'll be on my conscience, and I don't...
yours and mine. It was my idea, Randy. It's almost 10 o'clock.
Well, maybe that's Alice.
Felton, it's Alice.
Hello? Hello?
Hello? Who is this? I was told to call Mr. Stone.
Martha. Oh, Martha! Just a second. Felton, are you there?
I'm here.
Martha, this is Randy Stone. That letter you wrote for Mr. Gorin, copying Mrs. Felton's handwriting...
What do you mean, Mr. Stone?
The letter, Martha.
Give me the phone. Give me the phone, Randy. Here, give it to me. Here. Look, hello, Martha, this is Mr. Gorin. You wrote the letter I asked you to write.
What letter, Mr. Gorin? I don't understand.
I told you under no circumstances to admit you wrote it, but this is an emergency, Martha. You forged Alice Felton's handwriting. I gave you $10 to do it.
I'm sorry, Mr. Gorin. I just don't know what you're talking about.
Felton, don't listen to her. I tell you the truth. That's not Alice's handwriting. Oh, no. Oh, no, no, please. Oh, no.
Open the door, Felton. Open it. Don't do anything stupid. Alice didn't run away. She's probably trying to reach you at the club, so you won't try to call her here at 10 o'clock.
Randy, it's 10 o'clock.
Felton!
Alice, oh, no. No, oh, please, no.
Felton!
No.
Felton! The door, quick. Get your shoulder against it, Gorin.
It's a gag. It's a lousy joke. Are you going to shoot him?
Gorin, give me a hand.
Oh, how am I going to tell Alice? How can I tell her? What will I say?
Gorin, come on.
Alice.
Hello, everybody. What's going on?
Alice, where were you? Where have you been?
You're too late. A minute sooner.
Too late for what? What is it, Randy? And Perry, what are you doing here?
Alice, something's happened. And please, I...
What are you laughing at? What are you two laughing at?
Look behind you, Gabby!
What?
What's the matter? You don't look so good.
Felton, you didn't shoot yourself.
It is a gag. It is. But not on Felton.
It's just a gag, Gabby. You know, a practical joke. But this time it was full on you. Don't you get it, Gabby?
I think we carried it off beautifully. Especially with Randy here. We couldn't let him in on it. He would have stopped us.
A joke? This isn't funny.
It had me fooled, all right. And I think it is funny this time. Well, maybe you don't think so, Gabby, but that's just the point. The victim never enjoys your kind of joke.
This is different.
It's always different, Gabby, when the shoe's on the other foot. I was the victim here, too, but it's worth it to me, just so you get an idea how rotten some of your gags are.
It can be pretty rough sometime.
That's a good thought for today, Gabby. Let it sink in. There was still a stunned look on Gabby Gorin's face as I drove him back to the press club. Maybe they'd made the gag a little too raw, but he rated a strong dose of his own medicine.
I can't get over
it. Well, let's hope you don't. It's something for you to remember.
Boy, the way they worked it out. I thought I had Perry working with me, and all along she was setting me up.
Yeah, they must have gone to a lot of trouble.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I guess everybody in the club knew about it, but you and me. Martha, even my wife.
It's just as well I didn't know. I don't think I'd have let them pull it, even on you.
All the details they had to take care of. Yeah, and it was perfectly smooth without a hitch. I got to admit, they made me look silly.
That they did.
Yeah. But, Randy, I was thinking.
Yeah?
Brown, you know, from the Herald?
What about him?
He's perfect. A perfect setup for this gag.
What?
Well, he's a gag man, too, you know, and he's been trying to catch me for a long time now. And with you helping me on the build-up, we could... Hey, what's the matter? Why'd you stop for?
Get out.
Huh?
Get out.
But...
Go on. Out.
Okay. Boy, you guys without a sense of humor, you give me a pain.
What do you do with a guy like that? What's the answer? You can't teach an old dog new tricks? Or in this case, maybe it's just you can't teach some dogs anything. I guess there will always be people like Gorin in the world, people who enjoy seeing others suffer, and about all you can do... Helen, get me Phil Brown at the Herald. Forewarned is forearmed. Oh, meanwhile, copy boy.
You've been listening to the American Radio Theatre's retelling of the lost tale of the OTR series Nightbeat. It was called The Practical Joker, and it was written by David F. In your cast, you heard Ivan Curry, who was Gabby Gorin. Karen Lees was Alice. Liz Roche was Martha. Chuck Royalty was Randy Stone. Dan Schindler was Andrew. Beth Schlansky was Harriet Perry. Lauren Walton was the Clark. Nick Richer was Bob Felton. Live sound effects by Marilyn Wilt, Linda Rasmussen and Kay Lutz. Playback by Mary Moore Campagna. This show was originally broadcast on August 24th, 1951, with Frank Lovejoy as Randy Stone, Ted DeCorsa as Bob Felton, and Gerald Moore as Gary Gorin. I'm your announcer, Bob Perks, and this is ART, American Radio Theatre.
Let's listen to some music from the days of old-time radio.
One Night Stand presents...
The Pagliacci of the Piano. Ladies and gentlemen, the Pagliacci of the Piano and its orchestra from popular Biltmore Bowl, the world-famous Biltmore Hotel in the city of Los Angeles, California. Our vocal spotlight tonight turns to lovely Maureen O'Connor and Ray Foster during this half hour of dancing. But before that, of course, we hear a few words from our maestro, Joe Reichman. Good evening, Joe.
Good evening, Val Brown. Nice to have you with us tonight. And our first tune, Well, say thank you loud so the folks on the radio will hear you. Val thanked me for wishing him a happy evening, and our first tune is Amor. Mine at the time. What a difference a day made, says Ray Foster, who sings very wonderfully with brand new ballad. Raymond? Sorry, I gave a downbeat and knocked the stand down. Ralph, I'm sorry you're so close to me. Or is it my fault I'm too close to you? I'll do it again, boys. This time I mean it.
Nights are through did since you said you were mine. What a difference a day made. There's a rainbow before me. Skies above can't be stormy. Since that moment of bliss, that thrilling kiss, it's heaven when you find romance on your menu. What a difference a day made. And the difference is you. When you find romance on your menu, what a difference a day made, and the difference is you.
Thank you so much, friends. Variations in G. A little pianistic thing which keeps the fingers warm. Boys, if you will, please. I'll beat this to in a bar and pretty swift. Where's the rabbit? Didn't take long, or would it? Won't take long, did it? Here we are. Maureen, don't run away, Maureen, because we're just going to have one chord from Mel Tinsley, and then you sing. Maureen O'Connor.
Every day of my life, you've been near to me. Though the love that we knew is no more, you're still dear to me. I just fly away with each breath I take. Tender thoughts of you fill my heart. Memories will never part. Every day of my life, I live just for you. And I'll treasure each moment we spend when our love was new. While the spark may burn, I'll keep hoping someday you'll return. And I'll wait, dear, every day of my life. and I'll treasure each moment we spent when our love was new. While the spark may burn, I'll keep hoping someday return, and I'll wait here every day.
Thank you, friends. Every day of my life. Very beautifully sung by Maureen O'Connor. Quien te quiere a ti is the Spanish, as I say it, for who loves you. Tune, a medley in which Ray Foster is featured throughout. It's comprised what we hope are two of your favorite memory selections. Cuddle up a little closer by the light of the silvery moon.
Cuddle up a little closer, lovey mine. Cuddle up and be my little clinging bud. Like to make you comfy, cozy. Like to feel your cheeks so rosy. Cause I love from head to toes, lovey mine. Honey, I'll come. Honeymoon, keep us shining in June. Your silvery beams will bring love dreams. We'll be cuddling soon by the silvery moon.
The dancers here in the Biltmore Bowl is Begin the Begin, Joe Reichman and the orchestra. Reichman, of course, featuring vocalists Lovely Maureen O'Connor and Ray Foster. Entertaining nightly from popular Biltmore Bowl of world-famous Biltmore Hotel right here in Los Angeles, California. And now, the maestro again. Joe, what have you got up?
Well, I don't know the date of inception for this Bambolina. How old are you, Val? Do you remember it?
Well, that's kind of a delicate subject, Joe, but this is of South American extraction, isn't it?
Let me see your teeth.
Bambolina. I'm not a horse, old boy.
Val, you made the same mistake before. This is not Latin at all.
Oh, isn't this Bambolina Latin? It sounds
no,
very much.
No, the way you say it is, but I say Bambolina.
Well, all right. Here it is. Thank you.
great pleasure, friends, as usual, to introduce, present Miss Maureen O'Connor.
I'll be seeing you in all the old familiar places that this heart of mine embraces all day through. In that small cafe, the park across the way, the children's carousel, the chestnut trees, the wishing well. I'll be seeing you in every lovely summer's day, in everything that's light and gay. I'll always think of you that way. I'll find you in the morning sun, and when the night is new, I'll be looking at the moon, but I'll be seeing you.
Classics is featured next, friends. We focus the spotlight upon Beethoven's memorable Moonlight Sonata. two brand new tunes. This is number 16 in our book, 16 A and B. A is Some Other Time, and B, How Many Hearts Have You Broken?
One Night Stand has sent you away the rhythmical stylings of the Pagliacci of the Piano, Joe Reitman, and his orchestra. From the popular Biltmore Bowl of the world-renowned Biltmore Hotel, the host of the coast, Los Angeles, California. Time in the vocal spotlight tonight was provided by lovely Maureen O'Connor and Ray Foster. This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.
Time I've got for today. Please stop by our website, AmericanRadioTheater.org, for more of our podcasts. We put up a new one every month. Hey, see you next time.